From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Let me ask you something. How prepared do you feel to take a giant risk? I mean, a really, really big risk. A risk where a lot is riding on it. Like, for example, here's Joey Levin, the CEO of IAC, talking about what a really big risk means.
You do put your job on the line to take a risk. You know, you try and do that with a measured risk. But those are usually the risks most worth taking, where the stakes are the highest.
Where the stakes are the highest, where everything is on the line. What does that take? I'm going to posit something to you here, and it goes like this. I think that this isn't really about risk taking. This is about whether or not you feel like you belong. Do you carry imposter syndrome? Does it control you to the point where you feel, you know what? I am not the person to take this risk. Maybe I'm not the person to know what is even supposed to happen in this situation. I think that if you are stuck in that kind of mindset, you never take that big risk. You know, this came up when Joey and I were having lunch a few months ago. We talked about something and got into this subject, and it really inspired me. I ended up running back to the office and then writing a column about it that ran in the magazine in my editor's letter in the front of the magazine each month. And today on Problem Solvers, I want to do something a little different, which is this. I'm going to read to you that column that I wrote. It's in the December issue of the magazine, and I got an amazing amount of feedback on it because it really, really touched a nerve. And then afterwards, I'm calling up Joey, and we are going to talk about it and talk about imposter syndrome and talk about getting over it and talking about getting to the place where you can take the giant risks that really matter in your career. So, you ready? We're going to get right into it all. Right after the break.
Have you ever thought of learning a new language? It's kind of a game changer for an entrepreneur. You're able to connect with more potential partners, clients, customers, and travel more easily too. That's why there's Pimsleur, a conversational method of learning a new language. Pimsleur isn't a game or something you need to interact with a screen to progress through. It's an audio program, which you listen to like a podcast while you go about your daily tasks, running, cleaning, whatever. The program walks you step by step into a language, building your skills and having you repeat words and sentences back. I tried the first Spanish lesson, and it starts so simply with you just saying, excuse me, to someone. Pimsleur is used by the FBI, Homeland Security, State Department, Fortune 500 companies, and more, and the company says you can reach an intermediate level in just 30 days. But don't just take their word for it. Try the full course absolutely free for 7 days, risk-free. You don't have anything to lose by trying, but you have everything to gain. A new language, a new perspective, a new understanding of other cultures. To sign up, go to pimspeaks.com/solvers. That's pimspeaks.com/solvers.
And now our second sponsor. Entrepreneurs are all about finding and solving pain points. That's what I love so much about them. They're literally out there solving problems for people. And here's a problem I'm so thrilled that Policy Genius has come along to tackle. It is the deep unpleasantness of buying insurance, like, say, life insurance. It's great to have, but so complicated to get. Help, Policy Genius, help! And they do. Policy Genius is the easy way to get life insurance. In minutes, you can compare quotes from top insurers to find the coverage you need at a price you can afford. And Policy Genius doesn't just make life insurance easy. Whether you're shopping for disability insurance to protect your income, homeowners insurance, or auto insurance, they can help you get covered fast. If you've been intimidated or frustrated by insurance in the past, give Policy Genius a try. Just go to policygenius.com to get your quotes and apply in minutes. You can do the whole thing on your phone right now. Policy Genius, the easy way to compare and buy life insurance. All right, we're back. So now it's time to get into a really important discussion about imposter syndrome and what it means to feel like you belong and that you are ready to take risks. And then after that, we're going to have a conversation with Joey about it. Okay, first, this is what I wrote after my lunch with Joey. Early this fall, I was having lunch with the CEO of a multi-billion dollar company called IAC. You may not know its name, but you definitely know its brands. Match.com, Tinder, College Humor, Vimeo, The Daily Beast, and more. It's a digital behemoth, and Joey Levin, its CEO, is as sharp as they come. When I first started covering business, lunches like these intimidated me. I was keenly aware of how much more knowledgeable these executives were than I was, and I felt the need to hide my deficiencies. But these days, I understand that the opposite is actually true. When you're confident in your foundation, you're able to admit shortcomings. My conversations with CEOs now tend to be about what we're learning and what we still want to figure out. So as Levin and I talked about management, I told him about my own leadership hangups. I was a writer or an editor for most of my career, I told him. So when I became a manager, I felt like I had to make it up as I went. Everyone does, he replies. Everyone. Pause on that. Last year, IAC reported annual revenue of $3.3 billion. Its CEO runs a company with more than 150 brands and 7,000 employees. And here he is telling me that everyone, in some way or another, makes it up as they go. Does that surprise you? It shouldn't, but I understand why it might. Here's why it doesn't surprise me. I hear some version of this from entrepreneurs all the time, and especially those at the very top. These are smart people. They've learned a lot through both their experiences and the mentorship of others, but they weren't born with some intuitive leadership ability. They didn't belong to some special club that prepared them for every outcome. They had nothing more than the guts to go into the unknown and the wisdom to appreciate what they didn't know. They learned and they continue to learn. They are always accumulating, never stopping. And here's why I can understand that Levin's admission sounds surprising. We don't talk about this enough. Everyone feels outmatched at times. Everyone grapples with some version of imposter syndrome. But we tend to suffer silently, hiding it like it's an embarrassing secret. Of course, we don't know that we're in good company. Nobody's saying what they feel, even though everyone's feeling the same thing. So let's say it. I did. Joey from IAC did. You can too. You won't be looked down upon for it. You'll be thanked for it by anyone who feels the same. And let's not forget, anyone who feels the same is actually everyone. That was Levin's word. Everyone. You'll be thanked by everyone. Everyone is making it up as they go. If they won't admit it, we should have no patience for them. The strongest among us let our guards down. And most important, let's remember this truth. Let's internalize it. We are not alone. Let's internalize that as deeply as we'd internalized our feelings of not belonging. At times when we feel intimidated or worry that we're not up to the task or feel at a loss for the right answer, this is our guide. It's knowing that in actuality, nobody inherently belongs. Nobody is ready from the start. Nobody has answers already prepared. And nobody sees you as an imposter any more than they see themselves that way. The best anyone can do is appreciate these feelings, share them, and then have the courage to step into the arena anyway. We learn as we go. All right, that's the column. That's what I wrote. That is just what just flooded inside my brain as soon as I had that conversation with him. As soon as he started saying those words, everyone does. So I wrote this and he read it and really liked it. And so I thought, you know, let's hop on the phone and have a conversation about it. And so I called him up and we started by me asking him if this is the subject that comes up a lot in conversation for him.
It's not a conversation I have frequently, but it's a conversation I have when it comes up in the sense of, and maybe more often with the managers than entrepreneurs, but it's in the context of telling people, which is something we really try and do a lot at IAC, is just take risk. It's okay to take some risk. That's why we're here. You know, do something that you're guessing at. Do something that you believe in that you're guessing at that you may not be sure you're right about. That's okay. Do those.
And do you think that people are not naturally inclined to do that because they're afraid that they don't have maybe what, they don't know how it's going to turn out, and that there's a self-doubt in that, right? That people don't feel like maybe they're not prepared for whatever the risk is going to be, or that they're not they're going to be looked down upon if it doesn't work out.
It's those things. In some cases, I mean, it depends where they are, what they're doing. They're worried about losing their job. They're worried about failing in a public way. They're worried about just failing in general. They're worried that sometimes this one choice precludes another choice, and so it's not just you went wrong on one thing. It's that you missed the opportunity to go after another thing, and that's going to be true in a lot of decisions, and a lot of decisions will be wrong. But it doesn't mean you shouldn't do them or you should be afraid of them. And, you know, sometimes you do put your job on the line to take a risk. You know, you try and do that with a measured risk. But those are usually the risks most worth taking, where the stakes are the highest.
So how do you create a culture where people are willing to take those risks?
Look, I think part of it is supporting people who take risks and having a tolerance for failure. That doesn't mean an endless tolerance for failure, but it means a tolerance for measured failure and for rewarding people who took risks. There's people who, I'll give you a great example. Actually, Neil Vogel has talked about this publicly. Neil runs one of our, what's becoming a big business, still a relatively small business for ISC, but becoming a big business called Dotdash, which is a publishing business. It's a collection of different websites that publish content around.
Sure. And it used to be,
content.
Yeah, it used to be about.com, and he
right.
Actually, he was on the podcast a few months ago.
Oh, good. So Neil may have told you this. He failed, and that business failed, and it had a different name. I think the first three times it failed until it became Dotdash, several times. And each time he came back, he had a better idea. Now, each time that I had a decision, which was, well, this guy tried this thing, it seemed to make sense at the time. We were on board with it, but it didn't pan out. And the choice was, well, if we find somebody else, we'll try something else, or Neil essentially replaced himself each time. He said, you know what, this is what we did wrong this time. This is the thing that's going to work. And I'm not kidding. I think we did it two or three times. And at some point I said to Neil, Neil, you've got great ideas and you keep trying these things, but we're 0 for 2 or we're 0 for 3 here, and it's taken a while and it's taken quite a bit of capital. And he came right back to that and said, no, I've got the idea. And it was a fully thought through idea, a fully thought through plan, and it made a lot of sense. And I said, well, my choice here, our choice, is to bet on Neil with this thing that makes a lot of sense, or not, because he failed three times. I said, this thing that we could bet on seems to make a lot of sense. Let's go for it. And of course, the last one worked out. The business is doing phenomenally well right now, and it's a fun story to tell, and it's true the whole way. But by the way, you know, at any given point, somebody else could have given up and said, this one didn't work, that one didn't work, and I want to try the same thing again, or I want to try the same thing harder. And at that point, we would have said, yep, maybe we need somebody else here.
Yeah, and I imagine that sends a really powerful message to the rest of the company, right, that you had given him that freedom to take a couple swings at it, not get it right, but you had to go through, ultimately now when you're able to look back on it, you had to go through a couple busts in order to find the right idea. And so everybody who is running a brand and ISC needs to know, or I imagine you would like them to know, that they have that freedom to strike out a few times in the service of getting it right.
Yeah, I'll tell you what's more important. It's not so much that we want to reward failure. Or that there's necessarily a high tolerance for failure. There's certainly a high tolerance for risk, not a high tolerance for failure. What's more important is that we reward people who want to take risks and who believe in something, even if they've sort of independent of the past. In other words, each time the decision with Neil and his ideas for that business were is this new thing a good idea? Is this new thing have a leader that's passionate about it? Does this new thing have big potential? Is this new thing well considered and well thought out? And that was really the decision at each point. And so long as we had the opportunity to make that decision, we backed them.
Joey, last question for you. You have to think about how to create this culture and inspire the people who work for you. Do you have trouble applying it to yourself?
Yes, it is hard. Look, at all the things that we talk about are the principles that we put forward, the goals that we drive, they're as hard on me or harder than they are on everybody else. Nothing good comes easy.
Nothing good comes easy. It's really the greatest takeaway you can have from this kind of conversation, right? You have to put yourself into a position where you know it will not be easy, but you do it anyway. And that's our episode. But wait, before you go, please hear me out on a few ways you can stay in touch with the show and contact me directly. First of all, if you like the show, it would be amazing if you subscribe to it on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Problem Solvers. That way, you'll never miss an episode. We come out every Monday morning. Also, I love hearing from listeners. You can go to jasonpfeiffer.com. That's J-A-S-O-N, F as in Frank, E-I, F as in Frank, E-R.com, where you'll find my email address, social media handles, and also you can sign up for my monthly newsletter, The Pfeiffer 5, which is 5 monthly insights and bursts of inspiration for entrepreneurs. It's basically a collection of the ideas that excited me the most that month. So please go check it out. And that's again, jasonpfeiffer.com. And if you want to drop me a line directly, please let me know about the problems you've solved, and I might have you read the letter in a future episode of the show. We can all learn from each other, and that also means you. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media, and this episode was edited by Conrad Martin. We are also online at entrepreneur.com. Again, I'm Jason Pfeiffer. Thanks for listening, and now go solve some problems.